Outside, we couldn't see it from our vantage point.
Wrestling fans, and welcome back to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. It is episode number 14 this Monday, January 16th, 2017. I am Joe Murata, and this is Michael Quinn. How you doing, Quinn?
Howdy.
Howdy, Quinn.
Howdy, partner.
Howdy, partner. We're here to talk to you about the world of retro wrestling, things we remember, and some things we wish we didn't. Glad to have you back with us. We are excited for this show. We have got some great things in store for you, because I know one of the things I'm going to talk about, but not only that, we're reviewing something later on.
Oh, it's something,
all right. It is something, all right. Folks, we are happy to talk to you about retro wrestling. You know, we have, Quinn, I don't know if you knew this, we have over 40 years of combined fandom.
Is that true now?
It is true now.
Oh.
It's going to be, eventually, as the years keep piling up here, we're going to be at like 45 years of combined fandom.
Well, wouldn't it, now that we're in the new year,
yeah,
wouldn't it be the 41 years
well,
of history,
see, that's
or whatever,
the thing.
42?
I don't want to like be specific. It's over 40.
Okay, it's over 40.
It's over 40, as most of our listeners probably are as well.
Yeah. Aw.
No, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
We're
nearing 40.
No.
Not close, but...
You're 30.
Yeah, well, we're getting there.
I'm 31. I mean, we're not...
We're moving. We're moving towards 40.
We're moving. We're working our way towards 40.
Yeah.
Really, there's nothing wrong with 40. Please don't take offense to that, folks.
Yeah. It's okay.
Quinn, I'm going to remind everybody that you can tweet at us at OVP Podcast. We do respond. We do follow back if you follow us. And we're not, Quinn, we are not Mishlava from Russia. We're not a bot.
Yeah, we're not. Is that a boy or a girl?
We don't know.
I still can't figure it out.
No one knows.
Mishlava.
If you still use the email, we have one of those.
yeah, the World Wide Web of email.
Yeah, we're on that. And that is ovppodcast@gmail.com. That is ovppodcast@gmail.com. Quinn, it's possible they're listening to us at our new home, the Place to Be Nation. Isn't that right?
That's right. They could be in that place with us right now.
Yeah, maybe you are in that place with us. If you're not, you should head over to that place.
Yeah, you really should. There's a lot of great stuff over there.
There's a lot of great podcasts, some retro.
Some retro wrestling, some current wrestling.
Some future.
Some future.
DeLoreans.
DeLoreans and space-time continuums, all sorts of stuff.
All sorts of stuff. Flying cars.
Yeah, flying cars.
It's really wonderful, so we encourage you to check us out there and check out the other podcasts there as well. Quinn, where else can they find us?
Well, they can find us over on the iTunes. We are on iTunes.
We are.
You can search us there or subscribe.
Yeah, and then you don't have to find us again.
Yeah, then you can leave us a review also.
That'd be nice.
If you're on there.
We got to get that Colt Cabana off the charts, man.
We're chasing right
new
now.
New and noteworthy.
The Rush or whatever that other one is.
No one knows.
The Hawk and Animal.
The Hawk and Animal
show. No, it's not really that.
No, but, it's definitely not.
Also, we are on Google Play Music. That's for those Android users out there.
Yeah.
That, you know, makes it easier.
Are we on the Stitcher?
We are on Stitcher.
That's good.
Stitcher.com.
Stitcher.com.
Dot feet.
Don't forget, Quinn, my personal favorite, of course, Player.fm.
Yes. And there's also the Blueberry.
The what?
Blueberry.
Who cares?
Aw. B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. I gotta say, I don't like that software over there. You gotta manually refresh it every week. It's not very good.
Bullshit.
Yeah, if you're listening, Blueberry, we're coming for you.
Yeah, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
Quinn, we're on the video site too, right?
Yeah, we're on YouTube.com. You ever hear that? We got some promo spots.
We recently do.
The Coliseum video one went up with Scott.
That's right. And speaking of Scott, he'll be joining us not next Monday, but actually next Thursday.
Yeah, not this Thursday.
No,
but next Thursday.
Not this Thursday. The next Thursday, he'll be joining us for our Royal Rumble special.
I'm excited about this. I love the Royal Rumble.
Me
it's my
too.
Favorite match of the year.
It is, yeah. It's Quinn's
still,
big favorite.
Somehow.
So we'll be happy to talk to Scott Keith and get his opinions and thoughts and memories on Royal Rumbles of yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't do current year.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to hear about current year? What's Roman Reigns just going to win again?
Please don't say Goldberg.
Gold Dust.
Gold Dust. Stardust.
Yeah.
Ziggy Stardust, yeah. I think, is coming back.
Uncle Phil. I don't know.
Uncle Phil?
That's CM Punk.
I thought you meant from Fresh Prince.
Yeah, it could be both.
I'd rather see Uncle Phil win a Royal Rumble.
Oh, he's not with us anymore.
No, he's not. It's very sad. But what's not sad is we have a new format, if you've been following along here, and this new format starts with a segment called One Thing I Miss, and it's Quinn's pick this week. So what do you got, Mr. Quinn?
I got a good one this week, I think. One that you'll thoroughly enjoy.
Thoroughly.
What I miss is WrestleMania celebrities being good.
All right, okay.
And I'm talking like... A lot of these are from the original WrestleManias. It started tapering off later, but I'm talking your Muhammad Ali, Liberace.
Yeah, he was there at the first one, sure. Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper.
She was fantastic.
Bob Uecker.
Now, what do you... Okay.
Well, let's start at the original ones before we get to the...
Let me ask you this.
Good ones.
Let me ask you this. You say you miss them being good. What do you think the difference is between how they used to be used and versus now?
How they used to be used was it's like they were actually part of the show and not just there to like have some like wave to the crowd. It's like, Snooki's here, yay. Like, well, she did wrestle actually, so I'll take that back. But like Kim Kardashian, for example.
Yeah.
And then she's like, this is a match. And like, that's all she did. Like...
Hi, I'm Kim Kardashian, and I'm really excited to be your host for WrestleMania 24.
Like, or like Kid Rock performs, and he's like 80.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. Like,
do people still like Kid Rock?
I think they do. I mean,
okay.
He's not bad. I don't have too much of a problem with his music, but not that I listen to him anymore, but at the time, you know.
Okay,
but
fine.
They did get him, like, really late. But then
really
again,
late.
He was, like, on WWE, like, doing the Undertaker's theme, like, when he was still hot.
He was, yeah. He did a American Badass.
Yeah.
Although, I liked when Undertaker had Roland by Blink. I thought that, I mean, by Blink, jeez.
Limp.
By Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. That was better, in
but
my opinion.
Those are the latter days. These are not the good days of WrestleMania.
Let's go back to the good days. So what are your thoughts on the good days, Quinn?
Okay, so WrestleMania celebrities start with the, you know, Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. Leilani Kai.
Leilani Kai.
I'm going to beat your butt.
Shmuller, Lani Kai, you better watch out because these are powerful words because this is a powerful woman and I'm a powerful manager now.
What do you think of Cyndi Lauper? I like Cyndi Lauper because...
Oh, she was great.
She looked like she was involved and...
She looked like she cared.
She's the one, if you ask me, is... That's how the Rock and Wrestling connection really got started.
Oh,
was,
man, absolutely.
Was her and Lou Albano.
Lou Albano.
And I've heard that Albano met her on an airplane or something.
I believe that. Yeah, I've heard
and
that story.
They just became friends and I mean, WWE has a lot to thank Lou Albano for, surprisingly. It's no wonder they kept him around even though he was senile.
You know, like, you know what they do? And Cyndi Lauper, to her credit, she was great.
She was. She acted like she really wanted to be part of it.
Yep.
Like she wasn't just a celebrity that was there. No, it's like, I'm doing this.
Right.
This is what I'm doing.
I agree. And you know, and you could tell, too, Muhammad Ali seemed like he really wanted to be a part of it. I know that he didn't get to referee the match from the inside.
Well, yeah, and that's... That's
not his fault.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
The story goes that Ali was set to be the in-ring ref.
Right.
And what happened is he showed up and nobody, believe it or not, in 1985, nobody knew the Parkinson's was as bad as it was.
Right. Yeah. He hadn't, it wasn't like a public thing so much.
So he shows up at WrestleMania. I think he was excited to do it.
Yeah.
And Vince and Patterson take one look at him and it's like, no way.
Yeah.
This guy is not capable of this.
So he wound up being the outside ref
instead. Yeah, they still included him. It's not like they just threw him out. But, like, you know, they included him, but Patterson ended up being the ref.
Patterson ended up being the ref.
But that was supposed to be Ali, legit. Like,
yep.
That was actually supposed to be him in the ring.
And you had Liberace and the Rockettes there.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was cute.
Although, you know... I always think it's funny because I think it's still 85 and they're acting like he's not gay.
Well, whatever. But you know who else was there? Was New York's number one, Billy Martin, manager of the Yankees.
Yes, he was.
He was. He was a ring
That's
announcer.
That's true.
He was.
Yeah, I always
you forgot about
him,
huh?
Yeah, because he kind of just shows up at the very end.
Yeah, he's like, there at the end. He does the ring announcements.
They don't really talk about him or anything.
Now, they had WrestleMania 2, Quinn, was chock full of celebrities.
Now, if I recall, Silver Spoons was there.
Ricky Schroeder in the main event of Hogan Bundy.
Also, Wayne from the Wonder Years. Or
no.
Is that, I'm sorry. That's actually a WCW thing
that's
where
something,
he's there.
Yeah, he was Bischoff's
but
friend.
It's around the same time, actually.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Then you also had Tommy Lasorda was a ring announcer at WrestleMania 2.
Now, this was the L.A. portion.
That was the L.A. In Chicago, you had, like, all the football players, obviously. Right. They were there. William the Refrigerator Perry,
Falco
most notably,
or something. Falcon, what was his
Frelick,
name?
Bill Frelick, Frelick, yeah. bunch of different wrestlers.
Bunch, yeah.
That Ed Too Tall Jones.
Yep. And then
Joan Rivers, by the way. Herb from Burger King.
Oh, what? Also, what's her? Where's the Beef was there?
Clara Peller.
Where's the Beef?
Yeah.
She doesn't even say it into the mic. No, it's like embarrassing. She's like, what? Do I say it now?
No. This is how it happens. She's like, Clara Peller. And then she's like confused for a second. Mm-hmm. And then she waves the mic in the air and audibly doesn't audibly go, but you can see her mouth.
She visually goes,
where's the Beef?
Yeah, but she's like waving the mic.
Yeah, she's waving the mic. So it's like, she definitely was supposed to say that into the mic, but she forgot.
She messed up. She was old. It's
Elvira's
not really
there.
Yeah, she is there. Also at the L.A. portion.
Yeah.
You've got, of course, the infamous in the New York part, yes. Susan St. James.
Susan St. James is amazing. Because Susan St. James, yes, the whole time is just yelling, uh-oh.
And then
George.
George.
Oh,
no.
George. Yeah.
Oh, George. Oh, no.
Regarding George the Animal Steel.
And remember when they cut to her and Vince, and they're sitting in, like, they're sitting in, like, office chair, like,
no, they're sitting in, like, waiting room chairs. Yeah. And, like, they're in a lounge. They look like they don't even, care that WrestleMania is behind them. Also, if you recall, going back to Elvira, she's also very heavily invested in the match.
Yes.
Remember when King Kong Bundy
Hogan,
bleeds, she gets all concerned, which is so out of character for Elvira.
She's mistress of the night.
Why does she have such a problem with him bleeding?
Oh, no, blood!
Yeah, she freaks out.
Hey, wait, you can't do that, Gary!
Also, you get Kathy Lee Crosby, who no one remembers,
yeah,
but she was there with Gorilla.
Yeah.
At the Chicago portion.
Yeah, they tried to have a girl with all of them. Did you notice that?
They did, yeah. I don't know what the intention was there or not.
Maybe guy-girl combination, because it's not common
maybe.
In the announcers. Maybe they wanted that.
You could be right.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 3 has
now,
two.
WrestleMania 3.
Oh, my. Oh, three. By the way, Ray Charles sang the national anthem at WrestleMania 2, which is awesome.
Yeah, that is good.
Love Ray Charles.
Very good.
WrestleMania 3 now,
WrestleMania 3, to me, is like the main event of celebrities.
Oh, holy shit. First of all, Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin opened up. Miss Aretha Franklin.
Miss Aretha Franklin!
Yeah, and she's great.
Yeah, and she has like the whole like girl singer group behind her.
She sounds awesome at
that. She sounds good. Everything about her is good. And also, a lot of people don't know this, but she also sung the theme of WrestleMania 3, which is not very known.
Who's Zoomin' Who?
It only plays at the very end
in
the credits.
Right.
But
yep.
It is actually like when they're building up on those prime times, they do
hype
that the
theme
of WrestleMania 3 is Who's Zoomin' Who.
That's right. You're right. Now WrestleMania 3 has, man, the best, in my opinion, celebrity color commentator
so good.
That they've ever had, and that would be who, Quinn?
Bob Uecker.
That guy, and I know you like him a lot too, Quinn.
Yes.
That guy is the best they ever had because he cared.
Bob Uecker is unbelievable because Bob Uecker, he's talking about moolah like there's a storyline.
Yeah.
Like, this is like unprecedented for the celebrities. Like, they're talking about, like, he's like got some backstory where he's chasing moolah the whole show, and it's actually like a thread of the thing.
Yep.
Moolah, Queen. She's here. No wonder you guys are here all the time. The moon is full and so am I. I gotta get with Moolah. I'm leaving. See you guys later.
And it carries over into 4, but let's not
go there yet. Yeah.
He also, if I recall, he announces the main event.
He's the ring announcer for the main event.
Yeah, the big guy.
Yeah, the big guy. Andre. Yeah.
And
he also does color commentary for the Bundy.
Yeah,
Hillbilly
and he's
Gym,
talking about his
tag.
Laundry or something with Boil, like midgets.
And the boiler and
yeah.
Shots to the boiler.
Yeah.
And then, of course, who is also really awesome is Mary Hart. She's
Mary
a backstage
Hart,
interviewer.
Very good. My phone number's on the back of my license plate with Macho Man.
Wait a minute. Right. Elizabeth, I'd love to talk
no
to you a little bit later on.
My phone number's on the back of my license plate.
You are a real charm.
Love that.
Yeah, and that whole interview's really good.
She also sits in for the tag match with the Hart Foundation and Danny Davis.
Yes, and she insists that she has no relation to
the Jimmy Hart.
Jimmy Hart or the Hart Foundation.
And she also calls a pile driver. She calls a wrestling move.
Yes.
Pile driver. Oh, no.
So this is the difference. This seems to be the difference, is that these celebrities are actually excited to be there. It's not just some checklist to
right.
get some publicity. This
right.
is like they're there because they like it. Like,
right. In fact, they use them well. They put Alice Cooper with Jake Roberts.
Yes, that's another celebrity at WrestleMania 3.
Yep.
That pays off because the Jimmy Hart thing with the snakes at the end, it's fantastic.
Alice Cooper gets right there with the snake.
Alice
he's
Cooper
holding the snake. He didn't
the
give
snake
a shit.
Up. Yeah, he's just... That's the other thing. There's no, like... The celebrities don't seem to care about, I want to play it safe and all this. It's like... They almost like it seems like they want to take a punch like
Hell
some
yeah.
of these celebrities
they're,
like
they're cool with it they're
yeah,
getting
they're
involved
like, yeah this is it's pretty good looking back
now WrestleMania 4 is pretty good too because you get Euchre
now Gladys Knight in the opening
yeah Gladys Knight
with
does
all
a good
the
job
buttons on her
yeah she's got a weird
that sweater
yeah glittery yeah. sweater on
with a bunch of buttons on it
you get Bob Euchre for the opening battle royal and then you get him again as an interviewer throughout
now,
the show
Euchre in this one the threat is he's chasing Vanna White
that's right
now Vanna White is the other celebrity from Wheel
yeah.
of Fortune fame
and honestly she's kind of useless
you like Elizabeth
I think she's terrific
I
like that a woman person behind him
okay let's go back for 1 second because now, if you recall, Robin Leach is one of the ring announcers.
He's Robin Leach.
Yes,
and like, he does know why.
I'm Robin Leach, and I do know why.
Yeah, he said that's what he says. Now at the very end, there's like this whole like because of the tournament, right?
Yeah,
I feel like the music that plays, it's like this big happy ending's gonna happen. Like they, like remember how it's like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yes.
Like
when he comes down with the belt and everything.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
And then okay, so that happens, right? But my favorite part about that whole sequence is that Euchre finally catches Vanna White and
yeah.
a smile on his face
yeah.
when he finds her, and then the announcers remarking on it. And this is like all part of the show, and it's just like the celebrities.
Yeah, they have their own storylines.
Yeah, and the best part is Euchre's like. He, like, messes up announcing. Like, he sells that he's so choked
yeah.
up that Vanna White's there.
World Wrestling Federation,
and
right?
And then Gorilla
like
something like, oh, he's lost.
This is the final match of our tournament to determine the undisputed World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Champion.
He is confused.
Right here at Trump.
Yeah, those are good. Now we get a little... WrestleMania 5 is a bit of a dip.
Yeah.
Because,
well, Morton Downey Jr. is not bad.
Yeah, I guess. He's so, like, 1989, though.
Here's the thing with Morton Downey Jr. He's
yeah.
very timely. Now, after watching the Morton Downey Jr. documentary, I could understand why that was a big deal in 1989 to have him there.
I suppose so.
Because he's very controversial. Like,
sure.
And on Piper's Pit, Piper's Pit was still, like, a big deal.
Piper was returning, yeah.
Yeah,
it was a big
so,
deal.
So, like... The idea of Morton Downey Jr. on Piper's Pit sounds great.
Yeah, no, I know. And it was an okay segment, though.
Yeah.
It's not great.
It's really Brother Love gets his pants taken off, like, basically. It turns
That's
into, like, a Brother Love
is.
Thing.
Yeah.
But.
But you also have their Run-DMC, who is like...
Yeah, that's random.
It's random, and they're a little bit past their, like, relevance, because they were more of, like, a mid-80s...
They're on the edge of relevance, yeah.
The Walk This Way was, like, 86 or something,
yeah,
and that was, like, their biggest hit.
It's okay.
It's decent.
Is there any other celebrities? I know Rockin' Robin sings the national anthem, but that's not a celebrity.
Yeah. You know what? In all honesty... I don't think there were.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, Donald Trump is at ringside again. But
yeah,
that's
well, Donald
it was...
Trump's at the other two, President
yeah,
Trump.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, President Trump.
Yeah, because it's at Trump Casino.
Soon to be inaugurated, President Trump.
Yeah, soon to be inaugurated.
WrestleMania 6 is good.
WrestleMania 6 is good. And I would say, just because we're running low on time here, but to say that the cutoff to me for the celebrities being good is like, if I'm going late, it's WrestleMania 11, because LT is kind of the last good...
I'd say 14.
Well, maybe 14, yeah.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. But let's go through the last ones here.
Real quick,
Goulet.
Goulet, who's great. You got Steve Allen,
who's
very funny there.
Yeah, Steve Allen's very funny.
Rona Barrett, who does her job, she's fine.
Rona Barrett's great, and that memorable Elizabeth interview, I know we covered it in the WrestleMania
yeah,
6
Yeah, we just
one.
Covered that a few episodes ago, but yeah. Rona Barrett's good. I'm trying to think of who else off the top of my head. There aren't that many.
No.
It wasn't as heavy on the celebrities.
The one I want to really touch on before we go here is Seven.
Yeah.
Because Seven has my... It's
Your
my
other favorite.
It's,
yeah.
It's, he actually is my favorite.
Oh, he is?
Just because he's just ridiculous.
And that's got to be Regis.
Regis Philbin. I'm a big Regis Philbin fan.
Yeah,
and
you liked him.
Him being on WrestleMania is amazing. And he just, you know, what does he say, Joe? He gives this great, like, little thing.
He goes on about how he's had all the guys on the show. He's like, I've had
the Hulka. Hulkamania
you know,
himself.
You know, Hulkamania. Yeah. Hulkamania lives.
I've had a Hulka.
Hulkamania lives, you know, the Hulk himself.
I've had the Macho Man. Yeah, yeah. The worst, like, Randy Savage impression ever.
Yeah.
I've had Macho King. Yeah, yeah.
Then he's like, but one guy scares me, Gene. Earthquake. Earthquake's so big. The other day, on Sunset Boulevard, he tipped over a Pizza Hut delivery truck and ate everything inside. Now that scares me, Gene.
Now let me do Gene. Gene goes to him. Regis, you're beautiful.
Regis?
Yes, Gene.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Like, right afterwards.
Yeah, it is really
funny. And then Alex Trebek and all them, and Marla Maples.
Yep. Alex Trebek is a good ring announcer at that.
Also, Donald Trump is at WrestleMania 7,
again,
too.
Chuck Norris. Lufa right now.
oh, yeah. Bobby has the comment about how he has marbles in his mouth.
Crackers.
Crackers.
It amazes me how Lou Ferrigno can talk with 15 pounds of crackers in his mouth.
Will you stop?
Oh, Fonzie is there.
Fonzie thinks he knows so much about wrestling.
I'm just happy the Ultimate Warrior got his ultimate win.
It's
like,
so
shut
bad.
Up.
I'm so happy that the Ultimate Warrior got his ultimate win.
Yeah, F you, Fonzie.
Fuck you, Fonzie.
Yeah.
And, but, like, Regis does color commentary for the main event of WrestleMania.
Regis is great.
And he's good.
Yeah, Regis, to me, is, like, he's gold standard.
You know what? And it's good that we're wrapping it up at 7, because honestly, there's a few in a row where the celebrities are really downplayed. Like WrestleMania 8, all you have is Reba McEntire,
yeah,
and then
Reba McEntire.
Reba McEntire, Tito Santana's sister.
Yeah.
And then Ray Combs.
Yeah,
and that's it. And then for WrestleMania 9, you have nobody.
I don't even remember 9. Did 9 have anybody?
Natalie Cole is like in the audience. And that's it.
In 10, we'd be remiss to not mention...
Little Richard, first of all.
Donnie Wahlberg. Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Yokozuna!
Donnie Wahlberg,
and,
Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds, Fan Fest.
I'm going to Fan Fest. Rhonda Shear.
Yeah, Rhonda. Up all night.
Yeah, Jenny Garth.
Yeah.
Right? She doesn't do anything. So, I mean, they're there, but they're not, like... They're goofy at WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, and 11, obviously, LT.
LT and Salt and Pepper, who is actually
Salt Pepper's
somewhat
awesome.
Relevant there, yeah.
What a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
And then 12, honestly, the OJ Chase is the only celebrity appearance
garbage.
I can think of. 13, no one.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't remember anything at 13.
14, Tyson. Pete Rose, who's awesome at
that. Yes, this is the last one where it's good, and we'll wrap
How
up
How about
here.
It? I sent tickets to Bill Buckner, but he couldn't bend over to pick them up.
You know, I left tickets for Bill Buckner, but he couldn't bend over to pick him up. How about it?
And I also like the interview with The Rock with
Jennifer Flowers.
Now, that is very reminiscent of the
Rona Barrett
thing.
Absolutely.
It's like almost the same. Now, let's just end on that. And I just wanted to say, kind of to wrap it up.
Yeah,
that,
give me your final thoughts,
Quinn. WrestleMania celebrities...
Used to be.
Like, we're describing this, we remember all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like nothing's memorable with the WrestleMania celebrities anymore.
Now it feels like they always have to punch, like, the goofy heel wrestler.
Or they play it up too much.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it was just they were kind of part of it, and
they
weren't,
were part
like,
of the show.
They were part of the show. They weren't wrestling, but it's fine, you know?
It was fine.
Yeah.
Now it's like you'll have Snoop Dogg, like, getting one over on a wrestler. You know?
It's just dumb.
That's not what happens here.
Yeah.
But what does happen here is we talk about retro wrestling. And we'll do more of that right after this.
Hi again, everybody. You know, this thing is really getting kind of serious now. I haven't been able to locate Vanna White, and I was supposed to...
Hi, Andre.
Don't
hey, my good buddy.
Vanna, you get me. You get the giant, the only professional wrestler who's still undefeated. And Hulk Hogan, I'm proud to be it, because now Ted DiBiase is on his way up. That's what you paid me for, to keep you out of the tournament, Hogan. And you are. And I know one thing, and that's what the people are going to know too, and that's what they're going to remember. You are the ex-champion, Hogan.
Well, there you have it. I still haven't found
Vanna White. He is the ex-champion. Don't worry about Vanna White.
You're listening to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, the fastest growing weekly episodic retro wrestling audio podcast in the world.
And welcome back to Our Vantage Point, your retro wrestling podcast. This is episode number 14, Monday, January 16th, 2017. Glad to have you with us. Quinn, are you ready for the next segment?
Oh, I'm ready. After the first segment.
That was a doozy.
That was a doozy right there. Let's go for number two.
All right. Speaking of number two, now, Quinn, what do you think of Vince Russo?
Huh. That's an interesting question.
Thank you.
Because I am 50-50 on him.
Me too.
Vince Russo, I feel, did some of the best work the WWE ever had. Let's start with the good.
He was there and was influential in and had a big part in some of their best stuff. Yeah.
Now, with the history with him, right, I'm a little foggy on exactly when it starts, but there's some kind of Raw that's like really, really bad right before he gets the book.
Well, the thing with Vince Russo is this. I'll give you a quick background, folks. I don't want to go too detailed, but he got hired by Linda McMahon to be a writer for the magazine in 93.
As Vic Venom.
He was actually just Vince Russo, but then he became the editor in 94.
Now, you're the editor, right?
Yes, I am.
This is very cool. When does this edition hit the stands?
This magazine will hit the newsstands this Tuesday, May 10th.
And he adopted a pseudonym, Vic Venom.
But everyone knew it was him.
I didn't as a kid, but I was a kid.
Well,
so
I thought,
what did I know?
Well, it's actually weird you say that, because I knew when they started saying that Vince Russo was the booker, for some reason I thought that was Vic Venom, and it just worked.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I can't tell you how that came to my brain and I thought that, but that's what I thought.
So basically, he had a dual thing. In the magazine, he was Vince Russo, the nice guy editor, and then he was Vic Venom.
Right.
And slowly, they became the same thing, and he wound up dropping Vic Venom. But before he did that, he actually would appear on a lot of live wires, actually, as Vic Venom.
Right.
And most famously was that one with Vince McMahon.
The Vince McMahon one that we've mentioned before.
Where he is pretty much shooting, and I'm sure it's with Vince's permission.
The most important thing I want to say is, guys, this show really sucks.
But he's pretty much shooting on how bad the product is, if you
right.
remember.
Basically, he's crapping on it, and he also craps on Cornette in the middle of
which
it.
Which I love. I think it's hysterical.
Now, this
I'm sorry.
Is, to me, isn't this the point where he received the book
yes.
like a week before or something?
He became part of the booking team. I don't know if he was specifically the head writer yet.
It has something to do with the transition somewhere along the lines when JR turns heel is what I remember.
It's around that time, yeah.
Now, there's a Raw, like right after SummerSlam or something, that's like really, really bad.
Now, there's a lot of bad 96
but there's
Raws,
one that's
yeah.
like particularly shitty.
I'm sure there is.
And then the next week it starts flipping and everything just gets all controversial.
Right, and some of the stuff that flipped that he definitely had a lot to do with was Steve Austin becoming the Stone Cold character.
And the Pillman's Got a Gun was the first big step in all that, if
exactly.
I
recall. And a lot of these shades of gray where Bret Hart's a face but he's being a dick.
Right.
Shawn Michaels is a face, but he's being a dick.
Right.
Steve Austin's a heel, but people like him because he's likable
yeah.
as a heel. It was weird.
Yeah.
So Vince Russo was a polarizing figure. A lot of people don't like him.
Now, the reasons they don't like him,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, have a lot to do with they think the match quality went down, right? Which it did.
Yeah. And,
go
ahead.
The time when that was happening, I don't think we could give two shits about
right.
the matches. We wanted the product to be watchable.
I agree.
Like,
if you recall a few episodes back in our old season one, I went off about, as my overrated was, the Attitude Era, but specifically like 99.
Right, but that was past Russo.
No, that's Russo. That's Russo at like his worst.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, because that's the tail end of it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
But a lot of Russo, 97, 98, he really helped deliver a great product.
Now, I always say this about Russo.
Yep.
And this is a good and a bad thing. I think a lot of what he did is because of Paul Heyman, and I think Paul Heyman doesn't get the respect as far as his influence on the WWE's product at Prime Russo era.
Yeah, I mean, it's unless there's some monumental coincidence.
A lot of the storylines
yeah.
are just like basically the same thing from ECW, just with different talent.
Yeah, the storylines, like, the presentation,
yeah.
the tenor, the general tenor, the grittiness.
Right.
That had to have been adopted from ECW.
There's
it
no
had
way
to
around.
Have been.
Now, I will say, on the other hand, Russo would go across lines that sometimes Heyman wouldn't. I still think Pillman Got a Gun, I know I mentioned it earlier, but I still think that's something that has never been tried ever again and never was seen before that.
Yeah.
It is something that is just crazy to me that's happening in 1996, and I really have to hand it to Russo because it's one of the only times that I truly didn't know if I was watching the real thing or not.
I agree with you. And you also, to put it in context, I mean, that's before the quote-unquote Attitude Era was really underway.
Right.
That's 96 we're talking about.
We had mentioned before how, like, I thought, like, maybe this guy, like, there was existing, like, bad blood between Pillman and Stone Cold.
Right. It just seemed real.
Yeah.
And Russo, I'm going to give him some credit. He would go for stuff. He would go for it.
Yeah. And his philosophy was always, we want to keep them tuned in and not switching the channel. And that's the thing. That's the lens you have to look at Russo's stuff for.
Right.
Like, a lot of people look back at it and like, this is such trash or whatever. You have to understand that there's a show on the other channel.
That's a good point,
right,
Glenn.
Now.
Yeah.
And that he's going to make whatever has to happen ridiculous so
right.
You won't change the channel.
So if that means Steve Austin barging into the arena with a Zamboni,
yeah.
Vince Russo will ask for it.
Right.
If it means crushing a Corvette with cement,
yes.
Vince Russo will ask for
it. And also, Vince Russo has commented on other podcasts, I want to say either the Austin or JR, about how at that time, Vince was in such dire straits that Russo almost had no budget with this stuff.
Right.
Like, he could say, Vince, we're going to destroy your Corvette that's like hundreds of thousands of dollars
right.
or whatever. Or, Vince, we're going to rent a Zamboni, which is like a lot of money.
Yeah, he didn't know if that would happen or not.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't know. He also said these things, and he didn't expect Vince
right.
to like let him do it half the time, but
right.
he did.
Exactly.
So you have to understand that this stuff was over the top by design.
It was over the top by design. And like you mentioned, yeah, people do criticize him because the wrestling quality did go down. But you know what? Sorry. But if you were a fan of North American wrestling
yep.
in the late 90s, if you did care about match quality, you should be watching something else.
From Japan.
From fucking Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's not what the scene was.
It's,
and if you like it or not, it's just the truth and it's the way it was.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have to put it in the context of when it was. Now, on the other hand, when we start to stray off,
yeah,
that's when you say, okay, now we're over the top, but like way over the top, like beyond, like I feel like, I know this is loved or whatever, but I feel like the stuff that I started noticing, I'm like, okay, this is too much, like the oddities,
yeah, fuck the oddities,
yeah, like that kind of shit, like,
yeah, I know,
and
I agree, beaver cleavage,
even Val Venus to a degree is too, like, kind of like,
yeah,
this
he,
is dumb,
he
like,
got over though,
choppy,
I mean,
choppy pee pee and all that.
It's a shame because Joe Morley was a good wrestler,
yeah,
too. He really was, he was a good
well,
wrestler.
Well, Vince Russo always commented is they hired him. And Vince Russo literally couldn't figure out anything to do with him. And the first thing that came to his head is, he looks like a porn star.
Yeah.
Like, and then they just gave him that gimmick.
And I'll tell you what, Vince Russo definitely made the most out of what he had. I mean, he pushed guys like Edge and Christian.
Yeah.
You know, he got them through the Brood, you know. He got the Hardys.
Yes.
He made them a name. He gave everyone an angle. He gave everyone a gimmick.
That's, yeah. And I know we're going off on the pluses here. And you're right, he did give everyone an angle.
Give me some minuses.
The minuses is where to, Stephanie.
Yeah, that whole thing. The whole corporate ministry and everything is a faction. That sucked.
That's the stuff when Russo's gone too far. And listen,
yeah.
Vince is in charge, ultimately.
Obviously.
A lot of this, it's almost like Vince Russo, the combination of Vince Russo running rampant and Vince McMahon being so full of himself to the point, like, in real life, to
yeah.
the point where he thought everything has to be about the McMahons.
Yes.
That starts to fester, really,
yeah.
at the corporate ministry and all that. Like,
there would be stuff that didn't make sense, like why Vince's whole master plan was to...
like, kidnap his daughter.
Yeah, when he was the higher power, that was just stupid. That was, like, a really bad Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, it was really stupid. Was Russo still involved when Stephanie got, like, date raped and, like, married
no.
to Triple H thing?
He was not. He
like,
was gone by then, and I forget. I know he has said it. It was either he didn't know how that storyline was going to be resolved.
Okay.
Or, like, but, he, no.
That's, like, around the time when it changes, right?
Yeah, he left in October.
Yeah.
And that date rape thing was like November
of 99. That's when it was like, what the hell? Like,
but Chris Kresge picked up the pieces of the Russo era and then turned it around in 2000 and made it awesome.
Now this is where we end up into the Russo WCW.
So he hops to WCW in October 99 with Ed Ferrara. Like, fuck that guy, by the way.
Yeah, that guy was terrible.
With a stupid Oklahoma. Like, shut up.
Okay, first, you know what I have a problem with that?
What?
I'll say this. Mm-hmm. Doesn't Vince McMahon put Jim Ross through enough shit?
Yeah.
Why does this Ed Ferrara asshole have to go and put JR through more shit? So just, that's all I wanted to say about that. But Vince Russo comes in, right?
And he makes Nitro basically Raw Jr.
He makes it Raw Jr., but without the, like, same kind of stars,
and,
let's say.
Yeah, and without the good.
He destroys the NWO, which was, you know, overdue. But the alternative almost seems worse. In a way, because, like, it's like once you lose the NWO as that anchor, like, then he's like, oh, God, Jeff Jarrett becomes the anchor of heels.
Yeah, and Russo then becomes an on-screen character because, you know, Bischoff did it, McMahon did it, right. So why not Russo?
So but now Russo's an on-screen character, and
he's not that good at it. He's okay.
And I think Russo was involved with the David Arquette thing.
Yeah, of course he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, Russo didn't like Hulk Hogan, which, again, I get his point.
Yeah.
He didn't like all the high-paid, like, lazy-ass 40-something-year-olds.
I thought Hogan was totally in the right to basically, like, call out Russo.
Do you? Because I'm always on Russo's side there.
No, because the way he handled it wasn't right. He shouldn't have gotten it to... To me, it was Russo's responsibility as the writer not to get it to the point where Hogan's protesting in the ring.
But you know what? The, like, amount of egos that you have to work with at that period of time, that's just a shitty job
Hogan
to have.
Hogan's comment was correct, though, in that about how it's because of shit like this that this company's in the shape it's in.
Yeah, but some of the things Russo said were actually true also about Hogan.
You're right.
But, you know...
They both had their points... But
I agree, yeah.
I think ultimately I felt like what happened out there was Russo's responsibility, not Hulk Hogan's.
Nominally, yeah. I mean, it was. But Hogan's a noted pain in the ass. So
true.
I get both sides of it.
Yeah.
The thing is about Russo, I don't want to get into his TNA stuff because who gives a shit.
That's,
but like,
yeah, that doesn't.
Talking about the Vince Russo that like helped shape the 90s for better or for worse as we wrap up here shortly, I think Vince Russo, any criticism against him is just.
Correct.
And
yes.
I think it's fair because he
did... Well, I think there is unjust criticism, like we said about, like, oh, you know, like,
fine.
The rings in ring work.
Fine.
That
he did drag down the, you know, this is one of my criticisms against the Attitude Era in general, the respect, the prestige of titles.
But did we really want respect back then?
I don't think so, because the ratings were high. Apparently people didn't care, and this is the thing that Russo got. He didn't really have a great wrestling mind.
No.
To me, what Vince Russo understood during a period of time where no one else did except Paul Heyman.
But
Russo was on a larger scale, and just the way the chips fell
there.
More
money to play with.
Exactly. Russo understood to a good degree, what people wanted to see. He had the pulse of the people in the 90s. Now, does he now? No, probably not. But back then, he was on top of it. He knew it was hot.
Yep.
He knew
Shock TV was the big
thing. He knew Crash TV, I think, as Scott Keith likes to call it. He just knew what was going to get people's attention. Again, if at that time that meant the wrestling quality suffered, then so be it.
Vince Russo was aware of his surroundings on the other channels.
Correct.
Not just WCW. He was aware of Jerry Springer.
Correct, yeah. Howard Stern. South Park. And Vince had never been that way before.
It's like Vince never flipped the channel and look what's on, like, the next channel over, even if it's not wrestling.
Right. So in 95, Vince is still trying to do his 80s show.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Even Monday Night Football was, who was on there, that controversial dude?
Dennis Miller.
That was another Shock TV thing at the time involving sports.
Yeah,
so,
true.
And I could tell Russo understood that, too, because he wanted the announcers, you know, to be controversial.
Yeah. So, you know? I mean, did Russo help improve wrestling quality? No, not at all. I mean, no. He didn't do anything for in-ring work
whatsoever.
But I don't
think that's what he was there for.
He wasn't there for that. What he did is he got people to watch.
Yep.
And I know it wasn't all him, and Vince has the final sign-off, and there's other people part of the creative process.
You know, Heyman's an influence also.
Absolutely.
Outside influence, yeah.
Absolutely. But you know what Vince Russo did? That Jim Cornette, for all his, motherfucker tradition, motherfucker, fuck,
yeah, exactly.
Couldn't do. He got people to watch, bro.
Motherfucker.
He put the butts in the seats.
He did put
no
the butts
intended.
In the seats. He helped make wrestling mainstream again, not single-handedly,
no.
But he helped.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for Vince Russo, it's very hard to say if there would have been an Attitude Era.
Or, you know, if wrestling would have made it boomed, period.
Right. And yeah. That's where I think he gets the credit. Any final comments, Quinn?
No, I'm kind of with you there. Where the negatives are accurate, like you said.
Yes, they're tangible. They're there.
But the positives, to me, actually outweigh the negatives, honestly. I'm going to look at it in the scope of history.
Yeah.
Like, in the, I'm stepping way back here.
Sure.
Not having some stupid internet wrestling community grudge against him or anything.
Right, yeah, exactly.
To look at what his body of work, like the first half,
mm-hmm.
it definitely was so influential that it outdid whatever garbage he did later.
I agree. I think I'd say, like, he's, like, it's close, but he's, like, 60-40 good.
Yes, that's
it's
accurate.
Very
that's
close,
because 60-40 good.
He didn't help a lot of things, but the things that he did help were a big deal.
And they changed the industry forever.
They did change the industry forever. Again, for better or for worse, people have their opinions, but he's influential. And he did do something that people hadn't done in WWE for years. Make people watch.
Right.
So, Quinn, our next segment is called One of My Favorites. It'll be one of Quinn's favorites. What do you have, Quinn?
So this guy definitely put the butts in the seats. and this guy is one of my favorites.
All right.
And I want to talk about a specific part of his career, not later.
Okay.
The Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I mean,
I know we like to pick all these weird, stupid things from the past sometimes.
Yes.
Like these oddities. But I just wanted to devote some time to the Macho Man Randy Savage and his WWF run.
Okay.
If you want, if we got some time, we can go into the WCW stuff.
Sure. So where do you want to start here?
I want to start really with the Macho Man coming in 1985. He came in and he didn't have a manager. And he was also hyped as this, like, hot free agent, right?
Yeah, it was a big deal. Like, there was all the managers were vying for him.
And that was very unique about him when he came in, and I loved that.
Yeah, it was a good angle.
Not that I was there, but I've watched, like, every Macho Man thing. He's, like, what? He's up there. He's, like, my number two favorite wrestler.
Same here. Yep,
yeah,
number
like,
two.
Like, he is just so good.
Yep.
So he comes in, and he thinks he's hot shit.
And he was.
But there's an air of confidence about that guy from the moment he steps in the door that is unlike any wrestler I think I've ever seen, period.
Yeah, he was so different.
Yes.
From what was going on at the time.
And what's interesting is he's so different, but at the same time, his attire is very simple.
Trunks and boots. But the cape.
He's got the cape, but that's a Ric Flair thing. That's already been happening forever.
The big
sunglasses.
I mean,
I'd say the goggles or whatever is different, but I mean, you know, a headband, you know, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat had a headband, you know, like, like, he's pretty simple, but what he does with everything is he just, everything is 190%. It's just ridiculous.
From his punches, like, to the way he walked around the ring.
He just knew, like, he was the center. He was like the sun, and the arena was the planets revolving around him, if you will.
All right, that's well
put. You know,
put.
He was
sure.
He just had this magnetism about him, right?
He did. He had an undeniable charisma.
You just couldn't look away from him. Like, he was just so good.
Yep.
So let's get into the nitty gritty here. So he comes in.
He gets Elizabeth after about a month, and she, if you remember, starts off as somewhat of a heel, almost.
Kind of. She's, like, assisting him, and, like, she's kind of fawning over him. Like,
she's more heely.
Yeah, she's like, the Macho Man is so good, and, like, blah, blah, blah.
He immediately jumps into a feud with Hogan.
This is what I think sets him apart, right?
Yep.
His first, his the minute he walks in, he says, I'm going to take out Hulk Hogan. Even when those managers are interviewing him, he's like, I'm gunning for Hogan. He says that to, like, Blassie or something. Like,
yeah,
when they're
Blassie,
like,
Johnny V, who
Jimmy
the hell
Hart
knows?
And yeah. all that. Yeah, he's
Bobby Heenan.
He's like, who's going to give me the contract with Hulk Hogan? Like, this guy is barely even wrestled, and he's, like, talking about Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he just storms in. Yeah. He's like, fuck Hulk Hogan. Yeah. I don't like him. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I love that he has a laser beam focus on Hulk Hogan's back.
Wants a world title, that's it.
He wants the world title, that's all he's there to do.
He thinks he's better than him, he wants a world title.
So, I believe he has some matches with Hogan to start
in
MSG. He notably has an MSG one that's air.
Sure. He lost most of them, but he did win some by count out.
Right. So they didn't treat it. That was the other thing. They didn't treat him like he was like the next, you know, this month's jabroni to fight
right.
Hulk Hogan. It's
yeah.
like, no, this guy's going to be around and he's yeah. going to, you know, he's going to eventually get something.
He's not going anywhere.
Right.
This guy's a big deal.
And what really establishes that is when he wins the Intercontinental title.
Right. February of 86 in Boston Gardens against Tito Santana. Danny Davis has what kind of pants
he's
on?
He's got khakis on.
Which is really weird.
Now, for whatever reason, there's literally not really much other than like the Macho Man's usual chicanery, I think foot on the ropes or something.
Brass knucks or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but Gorilla keeps saying for like years after this that somehow Danny Davis was like a shady ref in this match.
They retconned that
That's
in.
That's bullshit.
Yeah,
like,
that was retconned
he's
in.
He's just a regular ref who
sure.
missed something. But
absolutely.
Just because he has khaki pants, it's more noticeable or something.
But that night in February of 86 does kick off a great Intercontinental title run.
Now, I wouldn't say amazing. I'd say
I wouldn't.
The majority of it was kicking around with George Steele.
That's the thing that if we still did missed opportunity, that would be one, is Savage's IC run.
Wasting, like, the majority of his entire thing was feuding with George, to the point where when we finally get to the good stuff, there's still George Steele
yeah,
lurking around. Like,
and you know what? George Steele seems like a nice guy. I'm sure he's really smart. He is a sack of shit in the ring.
He's
and
awful.
Just dragged Savage down.
He did. Now, to be fair, another minor thing going on and all that is Bruno Sammartino being, like, really annoyed with the Macho Man.
I know, Macho Man vent.
To the point where he, like, punches him or something.
I punch a vent.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of myself.
You
I'm
piece of slime. You're happy about it.
Yeah, Bruno like gets they get in a like altercation or something, but
yeah,
then Bruno
do.
Leaves at in the middle of that.
Bruno
so.
Shouldn't have been there to begin with.
No.
In the mid-80s.
I love Bruno, but he shouldn't
I know,
have been
but
there
he should not have been there anymore.
No.
But Savage thankfully of course moves into a great angle with Ricky Steamboat.
I would say one of the highest of high points. This is the match between Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and the Macho Man Randy Savage to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this before on this show.
Yeah.
Is so influential for me. As me as a wrestling fan, it taught me what work rate was.
Sure.
It made me appreciate matches where I hadn't before, really.
You can look at it and be like, this is a compelling wrestling match.
I'd say it gave me, yes. I'd say it gave me a baseline.
Sure.
To judge matches going forward.
Or a top line, whatever you
yeah.
want to call it.
Yeah.
A watermark, a benchmark.
A watermark would be, yeah. It gave me a watermark for the rest of my life watching wrestling.
Sure.
And sometimes I would go back to that match for no good reason,
yeah.
just to watch it.
I've done it with you.
Yeah.
We've done that.
I just love it so much. It's perfectly done. Even with the interference at the end, it's just everything works. The angle that it's a part of.
Yeah.
With the larynx. Everything. Everything's working, the ring, the kicking out of everything, the quick falls.
Sure.
It is the basis for the modern style.
WWF's modern style, yeah.
I'd say even now looks back to it.
I'd say so. I'd say there's some influence.
It's all just building on that.
Sure. And you know what? That was Savage's last real notable moment as a heel.
Yes.
He then veered into a feud with Honky Tonk Man in the summer.
To regain his belt, which initially was to feud with Steamboat, but then, you know...
Steamboat lost it to Honky.
Yeah, we talked about that in our missed opportunity about Steamboat.
Yeah, so that fat tub of shit feuds with Savage for a while.
Like, for like a month.
And then, well, Saturday Night's main event,
yes,
right?
Yes, and this is another notable Macho Man moment. I love this. There's a lot of things with this that are good. So the Macho Man's facing Honky Tonk. And the Hart Foundation comes out.
Which I love. And they're
beating the shit out of them.
They're such assholes.
Now, there's another thing I like about this match. It's It's a stupid little thing, and you may make fun of me for it.
Is it Bobby Heenan saying Elizabeth's dress is from
It's about Elizabeth's dress, and Bobby does have the funny comment. But the fact that they dressed her up in all white and she's about to get hit by the thing, like, there's almost some kind of, like, symbolism, like this pure, you know, white as snow woman is going to get hit with this
guitar.
Fucking guitar, like, by these fucking assholes. And, like, you feel like, oh, like, this is horrible. And, like, when is that when the Hulkster comes out?
Well, then Honky shoves her down.
He shoves her down, and that makes
and
it even worse.
The
again.
Hearts are holding Savage.
Yeah.
And they do hit him with the guitar.
They hit and they nail him.
And then Elizabeth brings out Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Now, folks, that was huge. These were rivals.
Yes, this is, it's so good. Like, so these two guys have hated each other for so long.
Yep.
Now the Hulkster, of all people, comes to save the Macho Man, and the Mega Powers are born.
That's it. And that takes us through into 88, of course, the WrestleMania Boar tournament.
Yes. Although, I would say Macho Man, all his moments are good moments.
Yeah.
They're not good matches, but
no,
they're great moments. Also, yeah. I do like, again, the Elizabeth changing colors with the Macho Man every round. That was good.
And when Savage drops that elbow on Ted DiBiase,
even that shitty crowd, like, lights up.
New world champion, Macho Man Randy Savage.
With the help of Hulk Hogan, which I never liked. But
yeah, I know, me neither.
And so he holds up Elizabeth. That's a good moment,
That is a nice moment. So Mega Powers, of course, go throughout the summer. We get the Mega Powers versus the Mega Bucks.
I know, the Macho Man does feud with Bad News Brown.
Towards the end of 88 into 89.
Yep.
Mega Powers have some dissension. It leads to the breakup on the main event, Quinn, with the Twin Towers.
The Twin Towers, yeah. So there had been brewing
since
SummerSlam.
Since SummerSlam.
It's crazy, but it is since SummerSlam. There's a point where, Hulk hugs Elizabeth.
And Savage just gives him a look.
It's just a look.
At SummerSlam.
And that's all it is at SummerSlam, but it sets the seeds for all of this. So in the main event match, what ends up happening is it Hulk or Macho Man that lands on Elizabeth? What happens?
It's Savage, actually.
Okay,
gets thrown in the outside.
Savage gets thrown. He doesn't intentionally go into Elizabeth.
Right.
He gets thrown out of the ring, and he nails Elizabeth by accident.
Great bump, by the way.
Yeah, Elizabeth takes it. And
Hogan
then
acts like she's dead.
Okay, this is the fucking Hulk Hogan. I hate him in this. He's just like, oh my god. And then he takes her back, and he's like praying and all this stuff.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not that there's anything wrong with it, but
he's acting like she's dead.
Yeah, he's literally acting like she needs to be like resurrected rather than like she just needs like some ice on her head.
Thank God he didn't mean it, Elizabeth. God, thank God you're okay.
So he leaves Savage to wrestle Big Fat Twin Towers by himself.
Yeah.
This is what sucks, right? Is Hogan comes back.
Yes, this is so stupid.
I'll lay this out because this is what really irks me. Hogan comes back.
And the Macho Man's taking like a beating.
Yeah. Savage turns on him.
Right. Yeah.
But Hogan still wins.
Yeah, he just finishes off both of them somehow.
Why couldn't Hogan get pinned?
Wouldn't the whole point is he lost a match because of the Macho Man?
Right.
Like, Hogan never loses, so that should like piss him off.
Like, he can't job the 900 pounds of the Twin Towers just once.
Yeah, it's 2-on-1.
It's a tag match. It's okay.
Nobody's going to get mad.
Right. That would have built more heat and made Hogan seem vulnerable, maybe.
But no.
No. Jesus H. Hogan has to win.
So then he has to come back, and he's pointing the finger at the Macho Man, and the Macho Man pointed back at him. You got lust for Elizabeth.
Those eyes lust Elizabeth. Yeah.
Those eyes lust Elizabeth. You understand that?
Gotta talk some sense into him. Ow, Randy!
Yeah. Ow, Randy! And doesn't Brutus the Barber wander in?
And
that
Savage
fucking
just beats
goon
the shit out of him.
Yeah.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Ooh, Brutus Beefcake!
Remember
yeah,
that?
That's and then like all that like all the like trays go flying and stuff. He beats the shit out of Bruce the Barber,
which is really funny.
Yeah, that is funny. So anyway,
it leads to WrestleMania 5.
It leads to WrestleMania 5, and the Macho Man, obviously, because you know Hogan can't ever lose.
No, of course
like,
not.
So Macho Man loses, and he loses Elizabeth.
Yes, and then she becomes Hogan's manager.
Now,
now
I don't know if you know this, but it was posted on YouTube recently.
Yeah.
Did you know that the vignette was filmed the night of WrestleMania 5,
what
where
vignette?
Sherry comes in and assists the Macho Man? I just saw this. It just was posted. Right after they're in their interview center, right? Elizabeth's like, how do you feel about like the match or whatever? Jean's with her.
Yeah.
And like Macho Man comes in and blames her. He's like, I will never have you with me again. You cost me the title. Blah,
I didn't
blah,
know
blah.
That. I've never seen
and
that.
And then Sherry Sherry came in before, and she yes. goes, you're terrible, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then Macho Man comes and blames her and whatever. And then Macho Man starts putting his hands on Elizabeth. He starts grabbing her by
Whoa.
The mouth. And he knocks her down and everything.
Savage?
Yes.
Damn.
And what's weird is he knocks her down, and he's calling her Miss Elizabeth instead of Elizabeth.
Miss Elizabeth, you will never cost me anything again.
And so Hogan comes in, right?
What?
Yeah, this all happens. So Hulk Hogan comes in, and he's like, get off of her, Randy. And he tries to, like, defend her. But then Sherry jumps on Hulk Hogan's back and, like, assists Savage in, like, knocking Hogan over.
That's amazing.
And, like, Savage is able to get away with Sherry's help, and that's why she's his manager.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That leads, of course, to an era we covered with the Sherry segment from way back. Macho Man with Sensational Sherry. We love that. Now, Savage goes on a bit of a mid-Carter run
here.
He
wins the kingship from Duggan.
From Duggan, which I like. Macho King Randy Savage.
And Sensational Queen Sherry.
Feuds with Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire.
Looks like an idiot.
Looks like an idiot.
Lots of weird, like, matches where Sapphire and Dusty Rhodes are fighting Sherry and Macho Man and Brother Love.
Yeah, Brother Love's always lingering.
Now, but the Brother Love segments lead to the Macho Man's next feud.
Yeah, which is good.
With the Ultimate Warrior.
Right, so after Savage squishes Dusty Rhodes at SummerSlam 90.
Kind of disposes of him.
Like, yeah, that's like pretty much it.
Yeah.
Now he's gunning for the belt again.
Yeah, he's like, I'm the number one contender now. I beat Dusty. Dusty Rhodes is a big name still.
He was a big name. So he starts calling out the Warrior, challenging the Warrior.
Now, Sherry is actually challenging for him.
And then she's involved, yeah.
Sherry's the envoy, right?
She wants to suck his wee-wee to get a title shot.
Yeah, all the way. So this leads to a Macho Man costing the Ultimate Warrior.
Sure, Royal Rumble 91. Best run-in of all time.
Best run-in of all time.
Falling on him with the light.
And, Warrior loses the belt because of this, and it leads to, career versus career match.
Sure.
And this is where Savage goes face again. He loses.
Yep.
And this is one of the other signature Macho Man moments in my eyes. It's the Miss Elizabeth and the crowd.
Oh, WrestleMania 7.
Yeah,
gosh.
And Sherry's beating the shit out of Macho Man after.
Yep.
I know we've talked about all this, so
we'll be brief
about this. But, and Sherry makes the save. Elizabeth makes the save and, knocks Sherry out of the ring. And so Macho Man's almost going to punch her for a second because he doesn't realize it's not Sherry.
Yep.
And then once he realizes it, they hug and kiss. And
the guy in the rain hat is crying
at ringside. The lady in the blue dress is crying. Everyone's going crazy. And that is one of the best, things ever in wrestling, period.
Agreed.
It's like the culmination of like 2 years.
Years, yeah.
Like, actually, it's really the culmination of Savage mistreating Elizabeth like back
for
to 86.
For 6 years. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, it's ridiculous.
He was never good to her.
Yeah. And
except when he was a face.
From then on, he gets married to her and he's always good to her.
Yep. And then...
And it makes his character... It builds his character as a man.
Absolutely.
He's a true macho man now.
Right.
And he's fighting for honor for the rest of his career.
Now, I know we touched upon...
The Ultimate Warrior rematch thing.
We touched upon that. I mean, he won the world title from Ric Flair in a great match.
Great match at WrestleMania 8. Yeah.
Very, very good match.
His feud with Flair's good about Elizabeth centerfold photos and all that. Yeah.
I like it. And then we unfortunately,
they
talked
about... They put the shirt on him and then
they made him the Babe Ruth of wrestling.
Yeah, and all that bullshit.
And he bowed out, in November of 94. He really hadn't been wrestling much in 94. All in all, though, Quinn, I mean, if you think about Randy Savage... There has been no one like him.
There's a couple things that I think about with Randy Savage. I feel like in wrestling terms, he's like a five-tool player. And I'm not going to name all the five tools, but the major things in wrestling you want to have is good in-ring work.
Yep.
Character.
Yep.
Able to convey a story, carry a story. That's like the
charisma.
Basic charisma. These are the basic things.
Promo.
Promo, yeah, promo, right. Oh, my God, we could have gone on and on about his promos.
Yeah.
Cup of tea, all that crap. But he has all the tools. He is, to me, what every wrestler should aim to be. A lot of people like to point to Shawn or Flair.
Hogan or Austin.
But the Macho Man, he had it all.
He was fantastic.
He really did.
There will never... ever be another Macho Man Randy Savage.
No, there won't.
He was literally one of the most unique, unparalleled, one of the best of all time.
And he set the tone for how, like, modern wrestling should be.
Smaller guys, faster paced.
Yeah.
Crazy promos, but good in ring work.
Yep.
Not a big...
Crazy promos that also made sense.
Some of the... Yes.
In character.
Most of
did.
The time they yeah. did.
The Ultimate Warrior's where it gets too crazy. But...
Well, yeah. Truly one of the best.
Yeah.
And...
There's really nothing
there's
else
nothing
you can
else
say
to
about
say to that.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this.
The name's Venom.
Vic. You think those announcers on TV are shooting with you? I don't think so. It's all in the Spaldings. You either got them or you don't.
You want fluff? Go eat them.
Gosh, no.
You want the dirt?
Guess who's got the shovel?
You want raw?
I'll get downright nasty.
Subscribe to An Attitude. Get 12 issues of both the WWF and Raw magazines. That's 24 issues in all for one low price of $29.97. That's 68% off the newsstand price. Or subscribe to either for $19.97. Call 815-734-1161 or send a check or money order to the address on your screen.
Do something with yourself. Send the cash.
And welcome back to Our Vantage Point, your retro wrestling podcast. I want to remind you to check us out on the Twitter at OVP Podcast.
The tweets.
The tweets. And if you use the email, the electronic mail, that would be OVPPodcast@gmail.com. That is OVPPodcast@gmail.com. Quim, we're elsewhere. Where are we?
We're on the iTunes, the Google Play Music. Stitcher, FM player, dot one, whatever it is.
Dot one.
Blueberry.
Who cares?
Yeah. We're on everything.
And the YouTube.
YouTube. You can, and also on iTunes, please.
Review?
Reviews, please.
Review WCW Thunder.
Yeah. No, don't do that. Just
like, give us
could,
a review.
You could give us a 5-star and just say, please review WCW Thunder.
Yeah, if we get more than two of those, we'll review WCW Thunder.
We promise.
Promise.
Yep.
But right now, we're reviewing something else, and what we're reviewing, ooh, it's a doozy. Quinn, we're going to go back to 1995.
Yeah.
Early 95. We're going to the Action Zone.
Oh, my. Okay, I just want to preface all of this with saying this show was the drizzling shits. This is the worst thing we've watched so far far as, like, reviewing.
I 100% agree.
I just want to put it out there before we go any further.
It sucks.
It was terrible.
Action Zone from February 12th, 95, post-Royal Rumble, pre-WrestleMania.
Pre-Glass Table era.
Pre-Glass Table era, the Action Zone. Now, what is the Action Zone? If you don't know, okay. On USA Network on Sundays at noon, there was a show called The Action Zone. It ran from October of 94 until September of 96.
Now, when you're running at Sundays at noon, this isn't Saturday morning prime
true.
Kid time. This is
a shitty time slot. This show actually replaced All American Wrestling.
Right.
And that sucks because this is really bad. Now,
this
era of it especially.
They really don't care.
This episode opens with a recap from months and months earlier of this wonderful Tatanka versus Lex Luger
feud.
That's
funny because this is our first episode talked about this, if I believe.
It did. It's come up a couple of times.
Like 14 years ago when we first started talking about this. This feud was probably 14 years long, too.
Quinn, you know that Ted DiBiase's jacket is too shiny or something?
Yeah, I always have a problem with this. He looks like he's wearing, like, a members-only, like, Million Dollar Man edition jacket, and it's very unbecoming of the Million Dollar Man.
So they're recapping this feud, but it's, like, PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah, it's really weird. It looks like scraps of paper with video on them, like, coming, flying off the screen, and, like, it's almost like they were turning the calendar because it's so frickin' long.
In fact, Todd's voiceover references SummerSlam, but he says SummerSlam was August 24th, 94.
The date was set for August the 24th, 1994.
They show on screen that it's not.
It was the 29th, which is my birthday.
Yeah.
In fact, folks, little tidbit, I saw SummerSlam 94 on pay-per-view on my 9th birthday.
And wasn't it your first pay-per-view, didn't you say
that? It was my first pay-per-view that I saw.
I said that in an episode.
I did. So by the way, folks, before we move on to the show again, Action Zone was not like an A-style show by any means. This is like, C-level, D-level.
Might have been Z-tier.
Yeah, it might have been Z-tier.
It's like the worst tier.
Z-gangsta.
Yeah, Z-gangsta.
Quinn, you noted this recap is making this feud seem better than it was.
Yes, it's JR like talking, and it's like he really is acting like this is a number one, like a top feud, and it's going to be on Action Zone. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's so fucking important.
So, Action Zone this week is hosted by Jim Ross and Todd Pettypoop.
Why? Why is he commentating? He should only be interviewing people in a shitty interview center.
I don't know what that was.
Now, you know how I said at the very beginning of this that this feud is so important?
Yeah.
It's so important that it's the first fucking match on Action Zone.
It is. It is. And I want to point out the graphics, the on-screen graphics are awful.
Yeah, like, it's the weirdest thing ever because it's like, it will say in big letters.
The first name.
The first name, but they're like really, really big.
Yeah.
And then it will say in their last name in all lowercase tiny letters. So it's very confusing. Like, Tatanka comes out and it's T, like, because they can't do the last name with him, it just says T-A in lowercase to start, which is out of sequence with everything else, and then Tanaka, I guess, to be the real name, in all caps.
Tonka, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Quinn, you were remarking to me when we were watching this, Tatanka's a little chubby here.
Looks like a fat ass. You know, in fact, he's all bloated, and I, like, noted to you while we were watching this is that I thought that Tatanka was fat when he came back in, like, 05 or whatever. Yeah. He was fat then.
He was always fat.
He looks like he's pregnant.
Tim White is the ref, still alive back
then.
Yeah,
he's not committing suicide just yet.
JR's acting like this thing is good.
He's really acting like this is, like, Steamboat versus Flair or something. he really thinks this is amazing.
And seriously, why is Todd the commentator?
Why is he kind of heely?
He kind of is. Like, he's like, well,
as the show goes on, it becomes more apparent.
And he's more like, it's like he's less, like, supporting the heels than he is. He's, like, making fun of JR.
Yes, he's making fun of JR.
Which is fine
with
me.
It's like coming to some kind of realization that Todd has an opinion. He's not just an interviewer.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it
is. I don't want him having opinions.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So this arena...
this arena.
It looks like it holds like 800 people. And what were you saying? There's like some picture frames?
Yeah, it looks like there's picture frames or it's like some big windows to the outside.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a barn.
It's a big barn kind of looking thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have like a second tier.
Right.
So it's just like one like continuous row, but it kind of goes upwards.
But
like
not
it's
much. Arenas,
but not much. It looks like basically it goes up to the wall.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's terrible. This is the era when we were in high school gyms and stuff, and there's a commercial about that later.
Yeah, there is. JR, though, I'll say he's good at least. He's actually very good.
JR treats the match like it's a big deal. It's not, but.
No, it's not. This match is actually ass.
But he does his job.
And no one is trying here. We cut to a commercial. This had commercials, so...
Yeah, so this was fun.
There's a movie called The Walking Dead.
Now, this is an interesting movie. I never heard of it, but apparently about black soldiers in Vietnam.
Yeah, that's how they said it in the trailer.
It looked good.
Like, it actually did look pretty good.
It really good.
Like, now, I want to get your opinion on this, Quinn. There's a Milky Way commercial with a guy that gets hit by golf balls.
So this guy's getting hit by golf balls, right? And he's all, like, sad about it. Like, but he's... I mean, when I say he's getting hit by golf balls, he's, like, driving in the golf picker-upper cart. Like, you know, the guy in the driving range and the cage thing?
Yeah.
He's all upset about getting hit with the golf balls, right? Then the Milky Way logo comes across, and, like, sugar is, like, pouring out of it. And then...
He
eats the Milky Way, and he goes back, and he's, like, egging them on to hit him, and he's like, I like this! Like, it's stupid.
It is stupid. Now we get a Crest Complete toothbrush ad, and, like, the bristles are, like,
so
better.
This is, like, the point in time in the mid-90s where they figured out that if you bent the bristles a little bit, like, if you, like, made them, like, teeth-shaped,
yeah,
that they would go in the middle of your teeth. So, nowadays, that's just, like, every toothbrush, but this is new back then.
New.
Good for Crest on that, though. That's a good upgrade.
Yeah, I'll give them that. And then there's a USA promo for, like, I don't know, dogs?
Something with dogs. I think K-9 and Turner and Hooch are gonna be on back-to-back. That's what they said. I'm excited about
Quinn's
that one.
Quote, man, USA was so cheap back then.
It was. I forgot. Like, I guess I was so used to watching it back then, I just figured it was like a regular network. I'm watching this, I'm like, these commercials suck.
Yeah, it was bad.
And a lot of them repeat the whole way through.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
It's the same commercials.
So unfortunately, we go back to the match, and Quinn tells reminds
him. I told you a story. I said, this whole era reminds me of sitting in my dad's house watching crap like this. Like I was like sitting like putting my feet up on the like TV stand like just watching at my dad's house because like I was there for the weekend or whatever,
right?
And just like watching like even these crappy movies that USA's advertising like just because there's like nothing else on, just really put me back, like really like put me in that time.
Right. By the way, folks, if you're wondering why we're not talking about the match, it's because it fucking blows.
No, the match, there's nothing to talk about. It's like just punches and like headlocks and
slaps.
Tatanka's like dominating, so that should show you right there that Tatanka should never been a heel, because Tatanka should never be dominating. Why is Luger having a problem with him?
That's true. I also want to mention we're getting very close to the end of the blue shirt era for the
refs.
Yes,
the referees have blue shirts still, which threw me off because I remember 95 mostly having the refs with the zebras.
Yeah, it was around March, actually, so we're just about at the end of the blue shirt era. So yeah. Luger hits a power slam. I just want to mention, so he hits a power slam, DiBiase breaks to the pin. The announcers are acting like that would have been the end, but like, since when was Luger's finisher a power
slam? It never,
slam?
Ever was a power. It was the hit him with the thing in my arm move.
Yeah. And it was like a shitty power slam, too. So the match is a double motherfucking count up. My rating is minus 16 stars.
16, that's very specific. I mean, it's definitely minus something stars. It's awful.
We have a direct quote from Quinn here.
Fuck this feud.
Exactly. So Chief J. Strong. This is still going now. Yeah, so double count out, great. Chief J. Strongbow waddles out.
Yeah, because like, somebody's like down or something.
It was a double count out, but I think they tried to say Lex got back in, so like,
yeah,
but he didn't.
They're arguing, but he definitely didn't get back in at all.
So Strongbow like makes his way out, and
toddles his way out.
And we cut to a trailer for Billy Madison.
Yeah, which was a very cheap trailer once again.
Shitty, really yeah. Shitty. Makes the movie seem worse.
And the Stridex pimple commercial, which any 90s kid will know that those commercials were like huge back then.
Yeah.
And the kid gets like his high school girlfriend like loves him because of Stridex.
Then there's like some local hunting awareness commercial. What was that?
Yeah, that was weird. It was like some news channel 2. Which, by the way, this was the New York feed, so it felt right at home for me.
Yeah,
it was
true.
Like CBS 2 is like going to have something about like that hunters are evil or something for hunting like deer.
We got a 1-800-MATTRESS commercial, Quinn's favorite.
Leave off the last S for savings, as I always say.
That's right. So during the break, so we come back, we're still focusing on this feud.
How far are we into this show? Like 20 minutes?
Yeah, we're like 20 minutes in, and during the break, they show that Chief J. Strongbow got attacked by Tatanka, which
Like a tomahawk chop from the top, and he sells it like he's dying.
We laughed.
He like has like a spling headache. I just commented, he's so fat.
And it's all this attention to literally like an angle no one cared about.
Who cared about Chief J. Strongbow in 1995? Who even knew who Chief J. Strongbow was in 1995?
I was watching. I was like, I don't care about this
Chief
guy.
Chief J. Strongbow looked like he ate Chief J. Strongbow from the 70s in 1995, and he exists in his stomach.
Speaking of fat people, Mantar with Jim Cornette is up against Ben Jordan. Mantar moves.
Yeah.
Because he's a cow.
And I couldn't remember this guy said his name was Jeffrey Dahmer or Jeffrey Tubin. I couldn't really figure that out.
So Mantar wins with, I don't know. I was like busy.
This is where we switched to my notes.
Yeah, I was busy eating a fat night sandwich. I do have that. We still had promotional consideration in 95 from Mort Alford.
Yes, we do. And he hyped some stuff. I think that's covered later. There's a couple of these promotional considerations.
I do have...
But I commented also that Mantar's outfit looks like a women's bathing suit.
You're right.
Yeah.
He looks like... he just looks like shit.
Yeah, he looks terrible. Mantar just wins.
Yeah.
He just like sits on him or whatever.
So then we get a recap of the Bam Bam Lawrence Taylor feud.
Yes, and... Bam Bam is wearing a suit initially in the first, like, yelly sequence. And then, like, they, you know, Bam Bam's, like, calling him out. You know, he's doing the typical, I hate you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then they clip to, like, the response from LT. But get this.
It's
from
not
some
LT.
Guy called Bobby Cupo in, like, a lawyer's office. He has, like, papers, and he's, like, reading a statement from LT.
Well, Lawrence has a great respect for the physical skills it takes to be a World Wrestling Federation superstar.
He looks like a mob guy.
He looks like he's, like, seriously, he does. He looks like he's in the mafia.
So then we get Bam Bam's response to that.
Yeah, so Bam Bam responds to that, calling LT a dope for using a lawyer.
All I hear is Bobby Cupo this. Lawrence Taylor's talking to Bobby Cupo. Lawrence Taylor's talking to his lawyer. Can't he talk to me? Come on, what a joke!
And Bam Bam says LT is scared. In an actually pretty awesome promo.
It was. That was actually really good.
The highlight of the whole damn show.
Bam Bam loves saying his own name, I noticed. He says
Bam Bam Bigelow.
He says it like 9 times.
Yeah, it's amazing. The next thing we get is we go back to the commercials and we get a Wrigley chewing gum commercial, but they're saying how, like, if you chew Wrigley, like regular gum, not Nicorette style, you will be able to quit smoking just off Wrigley gum.
Wrigley spearmint gum.
Yeah. Yep.
And then there's a Hunted trailer featuring Highlander.
This is not the hunting awareness commercial. This
No.
Like, the Highlander is in this. You know the movie Highlander, like that guy?
Yep.
I forget his name, Christopher Walken. That's not,
it's not Christopher Walken. Whatever. But I know who you mean.
Yeah. So our next match includes Men on a Mission coming out with Oscar with extreme zoom-ins and, like, epileptic seizure-inducing.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's like proto-DX.
With all the quick cuts
now,
and stuff.
Todd is making fun of JR during this for not knowing about rap.
Yeah, I know. That's really... JR's
so
like, I have a bunch of CDs of rap still, Garth Brooks and Reba McEntire.
I got some rap CDs.
You do?
Yeah, I haven't talked about the package yet. The rap, and Garth Brooks, Reba McEntire.
No!
So, our opponents here are jobbers Adam Groom and Butch Long, who are facing them.
Todd's like, you know those chairs, JR?
Yeah.
Mabel couldn't fit in them. He sat behind the teacher's desk.
Yeah, like, he's talking about, like, children's desk chairs. You know, the ones that are, like, connected to the chair.
Yeah. But he's like, he couldn't fit in them.
It's stupid.
And then, so Mabel hits an enziguri.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah.
Jobbers dressed like Kevin Nash.
He is.
Like, Big Daddy Cool style.
I commented this during this. Mo is, like, literally one of the least interesting wrestlers I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's terrible. Although, I will say, he does have a little charisma here because he's a bit dancey while he's wrestling.
Still.
Yeah, but nobody like, who the fuck remembers Mo?
No one cares about Mo.
He's terrible. He didn't have the staying power of Mabel as Viscera.
No, at least Mabel had something.
Yeah, Big Daddy V and Big Daddy 5, whatever you want to call him.
JR doesn't know what whoop there it is means.
Todd
whoop.
Says JR has less soul than Michael J. Fox.
I don't get that joke.
I don't get it at all. Men on Mission finishes off Groom with a finisher where Mo pushes Mabel, like, his back, and, like, he lands on the jobber
pushes
and
Mabel.
Squashes
yeah, it's weird.
From the top rope, he does this.
They rap, they celebrate.
Yeah. So then there's this weird, like, I said cartoon style. It's not exactly a cartoon, but it's almost like a Saturday morning way of hyping Backlund versus Bulldog next week on Action
Zone.
Yeah, it's
weird.
Yeah, it's a really weird, like, hype video. It's stupid.
Then we get that fucking Milky Way
with
commercial
the sugar
again.
Leaking out of it.
And then
this is good.
Suffer New York.
Yeah, a high school gym.
They're proud to be hosting the WWF in their high school gym.
Yeah, there's some kind of lumberjack match. I don't remember exactly.
Proceeds go to, like, the computer science league.
Yeah, they're mathletes or something.
Yeah, math league. Yeah. Math league. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And then what the fuck was the TKR video telephone, Quinn?
There was a ad where this little girl's talking to her dad, like, on a computer from, like, the mid-90s.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like her dad, like, in a full-motion video, but it's not. It's like a regular video that they superimpose in, like, the full-motion, like, size from, like,
the
Sega
CD size.
Yeah. It's really weird, and it just says, like, TRK video telephone or something.
And that's it. And, like, I've never heard of that
in my life.
I've
never heard of it in my life either. Update on Strongbow.
Who cares?
On his condition next week. We have to wait till next week on
gives
that.
A shit. Raven Clark versus Bob Backlund is next.
You know, thrilling match. During the match, though, they mentioned that the hotline will reveal mysterious background of Hakushi for only $1.89 a minute.
That's too much money to pay.
That's too much money even back then to
yeah.
pay.
What does JR say? Backlund is goofy as a pet coon?
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't.
Why is Backlund hype on the Action Zone, I asked.
I don't know why there's so much Backlund going on.
Yeah, Danny Davis is the ref.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was interesting, actually. Danny Davis, I mean, he was there throughout 95, but we're getting close to the end of Danny Davis. So at this point, I finish my fat night, and I'll I take over the notes again.
Yeah.
And I have that Backlund beats Raven Clark with the crossface chicken wing. And then we go to a recap from Superstars of the Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels is with a diesel cutout. Get it? Ha ha ha.
Oh my God. This was so stupid. I hate the Heartbreak Hotel. I always felt it makes Shawn look dumb and the set is terrible.
It is. It's not good.
I'm glad that didn't, like, carry over into 1995 too much.
No, it didn't really.
Like, it just kind of disappeared after he turned face, right?
After he turned face, yep. Yeah. He keeps name dropping Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, he's acting like if, like, he has Pamela Anderson, that's going to be the deciding factor. Like, Sean, I'm sorry to say, but we're getting to the era where the celebrities don't matter. If we want to refer back to the...
It's true.
Yeah.
So Sean knocks over the diesel cutout and then makes an Urkel joke.
Yeah, he's falling and he can't get up.
Really hilarious, yeah. Sean.
And at this point, I'm like, I hate this show.
Yeah, it's at this point, it's I couldn't wait for it to end.
Yeah, it gets pretty bad.
So there's a 90s mom with a Dawn soap commercial, and then
followed right by a Cascade commercial
with another 90s mom.
With another 90s, yeah, like,
was dishes a big deal in the 90s? Like, I don't remember this.
It seemingly was a big problem.
Did people have a hard time keeping their dishes clean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so
terrible.
Then we get a commercial. It starts with, "Where were you when your cold pill quit?"
Where were you when your cold pill quit?
Effedec 24.
Like, what the fuck is that?
That doesn't sound good. That sounds like a test product.
Effedec 24.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Then there's a commercial like, reporters carry Snickers. What was that?
There's a reporter and he's like getting his job like a newspaper reporter, not like television reporter. Like, and he's able to do his job because of Snickers.
Then I need you to explain this.
Oh, this is great.
Please.
So there's like Big Daddy Cool is like confronted about something in some kind of office, but it's not revealed as Big Daddy Cool at first.
Right.
And he's like, I don't want pay for this or something.
It's personal.
It's personal. So he walks out with his like music box or something, like his guitar case. You remember that?
It's a guitar case.
It's a guitar case. And then it looks like maybe there's a gun in there or something, because it was like a mob boss or
and
something.
And then he walks into a classroom.
He walks into a classroom with children, and a girl, like, he opens it up, and it's got Big Daddy Cool pictures, like autograph-style pictures and pens in it. And the girl, like, is like, thank you, Big Daddy! And she hands him money, and he's like, oh, don't take money for this.
And they're like, the World Wrestling Federation, our athletes still care about their fans.
And right after by the way, just an aside to that my part, I didn't put this in the notes, but why the fuck is the WWF not accepting money for autographs in 95 when they're at their lowest of lows needing money?
Not only that, if they care about their fans, why are they putting this show on the air?
Yeah, why do they gotta brag that they don't take money for autographs?
They should have. Maybe we would have had better wrestlers.
Yeah, and also Todd and JR, when they come back from it, it's like, that's what it's all about right there. Yeah. Like, they're so, like, proud. It's almost like, yeah, fuck you, WCW. We bet you asked for autographs. Like, that's what it came off to.
And
me.
The NFL probably. Yeah. Oh, MLB was still on strike. That's another thing.
Maybe. I don't know. JR
mentions WrestleMania 11.
Yeah, he actually says that.
Oh, that Russell Crowe Mania?
Maybe it's WrestleMania, that dog movie where, like, Johnny Nitro, like,
Russell
Johnny
Madness.
Mundo, like, goes for, like, the high five to the dog, and he, like, combs his hair instead. It's, like, one of the best gifts ever. Look that up.
So Man Mountain Rock plays guitar. We go to commercial. Quinn, your dad liked Man Mountain Rock?
My dad was a big Man Mountain Rock fan. He got a real big kick about him playing heavy metal in the middle of the ring before his entrance.
So that means, like, Man Mountain Rock had, like,
at
least one fan.
Yeah.
We cut the commercial again. The commercials are better than the show.
They really are.
This is specific, this commercial, Quinn.
What very
is it?
Specific. It's for Mortal Kombat 2, but on PC CD-ROM. Who the fuck played Mortal Kombat on their PC? It does say N for Super Nintendo.
I know,
Genesis,
but the commercial is specifically for the PC version. Then we get NBA Jam Tournament Edition promo.
That was pretty hype, actually.
That
I liked
game
that.
Was
yeah.
exciting.
And it was also like $120 or whatever.
Yeah, it was expensive. We come back and Man Mountain Rock is still in the fucking ring, finishing his song, and he's fighting Reno Riggins.
Yeah, we remember this guy from a couple, you know, he's a regular old jobber from like the early 90s even.
Yeah, and you know what sucks about Man Mountain Rock? I actually really like him as Max Payne in WCW. He's a good wrestler, but they just didn't know what to do with him. He looks ridiculous.
They mentioned that he was like a NCAA champion
or
something.
He was good, yeah, and he's a good pro wrestler, but he looks stupid. He's got the dumb tie-dye. He just looks like dumb.
Yeah, I like in the notes you put Rock wins with Jackhammer, but I thought for a second it was The Rock, but it's Man Mountain Rock.
Man Mountain Rock.
Not that Rock.
And then he plays guitar more.
Yeah, like an old man hands him the guitar, too.
I know. Yeah, I love this. Todd asks JR what his favorite song is, and JR says The Eagles.
and like Todd mocks him more after that.
JR, what's your favorite song? The Eagles. Eminem's commercial, who cares?
Yep.
We were literally dying for this show to end at this
point. I had to take a dump, honestly. Like, I'm serious. Like, I was like, can we get through this? I initially asked you if we could pause, and you're like, I don't want to.
I just want to get it done. Yeah. The Blue Brothers with Uncle Zeb Coulter, versus Bill Weaver and Sean Dakota.
terrible.
And then, like, JR calls Bob Backlund the Newt Gingrich.
He keeps saying that, too. It's not just once. He's, like, very big on this Newt Gingrich thing. I guess the Clinton thing was going on then.
Yeah. And so they zoom in on a cowboy really happy about the Blue Brothers.
Yeah, like an old cowboy in glasses.
JR can't even tell them apart. Like, no, he's like, I don't know which one that is, Todd.
At this point, I say to you, I think this is the worst show we've had reviewed so far. It's making me have to take a poo.
So I'm just like, fuck this. Blue Brothers win after like 9 hours of no one caring.
It's like a 5-minute match in this all jobber.
It's too long.
Yeah, it's way too long.
It's like, you know how like when Saturday Night's Main Event was really bad sometimes? Like,
yeah.
There were some bad episodes, and the last match would be like no one. This was like that. Like, no one cared.
The Till Curfew match, basically.
Basically.
Yeah.
So Blue Brothers win, Spinebuster and Whisplash, kind of a cool finisher. Bob Backlund rambles about nothing.
And the show goes off the air.
Thank God. The YouTube clip actually gets cut off, too, and I was happy.
I'm glad it got cut off, because I really had to run upstairs.
Folks, anything you hear about 95 sucking is true.
Yeah. Okay. I lived through this,
and so did you.
I think a lot of people like to wax fondly about 1995 because they think, like, oh, it was like an innocent time, and ha-ha, so funny, it was bad.
It's hard
to
watch.
It's not ha-ha funny. It's, I have to take a shit, this is so bad funny. Like,
it's, I'm literally fast-forwarding YouTube clips.
Yeah.
And the Blue Brothers match is still on. That's how bad this is.
Yeah.
Do not watch this by any means. Do not do it.
This is minus 5 stars.
This is minus every star in the universe, and the galaxy, and the multiverse.
In the centerverse. I don't know. In the
this sucks.
Ultraverse.
This is worse than I remember 95 being as a kid.
I was very bored. And I know we don't like to complain a lot in our reviews.
No, we don't.
But
this was bad.
Like, okay.
I was looking for the good.
Yes. I went into this show.
Sure.
And I really wanted it to like be like, oh, haha, like it'd be fun and stuff. Like there'd be
right.
A lot of, I just found myself bored.
This
like,
yeah, it was like, very boring.
Yeah.
The commentary team is really strange. JR is good. It's weird dynamic. The crowd blows ass.
The crowd is like, it's definitely like the 6th hour of taping.
Oh, God. It's just like, awful.
Yeah.
95 gets a bad rap, and deservedly so.
Yeah, definitely.
This was brutal. But you know what wasn't brutal, Quinn, if we're going to be honest here? Talking retro wrestling with you. This has been a great time, I would say.
I think this show was an instant classic, honestly.
I think this was an instant classic. And folks, we want to continue to make instant classics. So why don't you tweet at us? Let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about. We will do it. I promise you we will. Review us on iTunes. Really, that would really help us out. And you give us 4 stars, 5 stars, just give us the reviews.
Yeah, give us an honest review.
Give us an honest review. We like the feedback. We also post on Reddit. We get our links on Reddit.
Yeah.
I actually post on Scott Keith's blog of doom as OVP podcast.
Yeah,
you'll see me on there.
Joe mans that account.
If you want to talk to me on there, I am there. Folks, we will see you next week, January 23rd. And after that, Scott Keith will be with us. Have a great rest of your Monday. Enjoy whatever you do. And we will see you next week.
See ya.
See ya.
I don't want your money. This one's personal.
Still care about their fans.
Will you stop?